Welcome back to another episode of the Southern Football Report, brought to you by Rivertown Running in downtown Bainbridge. This is not Dustin Dowdy. We are presenting from the Flint Media Studios in downtown Thomasville, Georgia. I've got with me the rattlesnake man himself, Brian Wynn.
Yes, sir.
And we are missing our two counterparts, Brian Howell. He is out gallivanting. And Dustin Dowdy, Double D, is out taking some big bucks in Michigan, right?
That's right.
Miss those guys this week. I'm Kyle Shaver, filling in host this week. Feeling better about the dogs this week than I was last week. Brian, what do you say about the dogs?
Dogs look good.
Dogs look good last week. So, well, let's go ahead and get started. Jump right into a little review from last week. I've dubbed last week Upset City. There was upsets across the country, a lot here in the South. Brian, what was your what was the biggest upset in your mind?
The highlight of my year, life, Alabama's loss. Praise the Lord.
The Alabama loses to Vandy in a large upset, the largest
upset.
And
then they just played the video of Nick saying
over and over,
over and over.
What did he say? The easiest place to play in the SEC is at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And they played it probably 40 times.
Yeah.
With all their fans on the field. Coach got several different Gatorade baths. It was so I was at the Georgia game. Georgia game and the Vandy Bama game were kind of at the same time. I think Vandy started at 4:15. And so as the Georgia game finishes, all the Georgia fans are exiting. You're going to your car. You're going to the bus, transit, whatever. We go to the bus. We're on the bus. There's probably, I don't know, 50, 60 people on the bus. Nothing short of 40 to 45 people have the game on their phone.
I'm sure.
And everybody's watching it. And you know how it goes when you're streaming these things.
Slower. Everybody's off.
And so Bama scores the long touchdown, I think, to take the lead, maybe. Ryan Williams, you know, backpedals into the end zone.
Yeah.
So you hear the groans and, oh, there it goes. You know, Bama's gonna win. And then right comes Vandy right back. And, man, that was so cool. And then you get to the parking lot. Vandy wins as we're getting off the bus. And you hear cheers. I mean, like you would have thought that something good happened for Georgia, like in the game.
Oh, it did.
And you hear the cheers. Then you hear the horns honking in the parking deck. It was fun. It was
40-35.
40-35. I just hate it wasn't the dogs that did it to them, but it was that.
Old Diego put it on them.
Pavia. They said he had 70 family members at the game, and they said they were going nuts the whole time. I mean, from the jump. I mean, that guy, it's a Stetson Bennett story somewhat, right? I mean, he had no big offers out of high school.
New Mexico State.
He goes to junior college first, then New Mexico State, and then now Vandy. I mean, goodness gracious, he's a Cinderella story if there ever has been one.
Yeah, traveling salesman.
That's a positive story out of the transfer portal. There have been some not so positive ones. Now, that wasn't the only upset last week.
Nope,
there was more than one. Right after that, right, Arkansas, Tennessee,
2017,
19. What I thought was 19-14.
Oh, it was the
19-14 Arkansas. I think I'm pretty sure I had Tennessee on upset alert last week, I believe.
I can't remember.
I like old Sam Pittman.
Sam, offensive lineman by trade.
He's just a good old boy.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, they Tennessee came in there probably feeling pretty good about themselves. They come in ranked, what, top four?
Yep.
Top five for sure. And just can't get anything going.
No. Nope.
Can't get anything going. I saw an interesting stat. So, this little kind of football technical talk here, but Arkansas runs what's called an odd defensive front, meaning they have three down linemen, three to four linebackers, depending upon the coverages and things like that. But the last I believe it's seven or eight games against teams with an odd front, Tennessee has had their lowest output of points. They lost to Florida last year with an odd front. They lost to Georgia with an odd front. They lost to Alabama, who has an odd front. A lot of these teams give Tennessee trouble. I think they're averaging like 19 points a game, in some of those games. Now, they did beat NC State, who has an odd front, but just interesting that Tennessee seems to struggle against teams that run that style of defense, right? It's that old, you know, Nick Saban's kind of the Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, that's their line of defensive thinking. What else did you see in the Arkansas-Tennessee game that stuck out to you?
I would say the two stars were Eric Gregory and was it Campbell? Last name Campbell?
I believe so.
Yeah. Anyway, it was just a good game, man. I'm just glad Arkansas. I just like their style of football. I'm not a huge fan of either school, so it's not like I follow them.
Right.
But I watched part of the game and then watched the highlights, and I like the fact that Arkansas is just a grinded out, beat you in the nose type of football team, and they come out on top on a team that they shouldn't have beat.
You know, what was interesting to me, that Tennessee, obviously it's a close game. They're in the game the whole time. Arkansas's starting quarterback, who had been playing his lights out during the game, gets hurt late third, early fourth quarter. Arkansas has to use their backup quarterback to take the lead. Now, I'm pretty sure that Tennessee let him score. It looked like, from watching the playback, that they let him score. Tennessee had to get the ball back. They needed some time. Tennessee generally can score pretty fast. They had not been doing that on Saturday. Don't know why they thought they might could do it then, but they let him score, give him a chance to move the ball down the field. They do, you know, kind of a couple plays, and then Nico, I'm not even going to try to say his last name.
Yeah.
He has a Patrick Mahomes-style chuck it down the field 50 yards, gets Tennessee into the red zone with, I think, no timeouts left or a timeout left, maybe 17 seconds to go. They get maybe two, possibly three plays, and then ultimately end the game with him running out of bounds with the ball in his hand, not even giving his receivers a chance. Maybe some freshman or redshirt freshman mistakes there. But anyway, that was a big one. We also had another upset in the SEC, Missouri and Texas A&M.
Oh, my
and
God.
Boys, that was a shellacking.
That was a beating.
That was a straight beating.
Beat down.
Did you watch any of that one? I didn't catch much of that game.
Parts of it. Not all of it. I got to watch a little bit of everything this past weekend. What was the score of that game?
41-10.
41-10.
And that was really close. And the 10 points came late. Texas A&M has kind of been a sleeper this year, just not really understanding, you know, who Mike Elko is, what's he going to do with A&M, what A&M had done last year.
And they had, what, one player rush or run for 300 yards?
I believe so.
I saw that in a highlight.
It was an offensive output, obviously, from Texas A&M.
And then they had another one at 138.
Yeah. So, you know, Missouri had been struggling defensively all year long. I mean, they've been giving up points. They've been flirting with some losses, and they finally found.
I think Alabama's going to follow suit. I think they're going to keep crumbling. I don't know how they got up so good for Georgia. I think it was just Georgia.
Yeah.
But,
you know,
there's no way you lose the Vandy. Like, there's no way Nick Saban would have lost to Vandy.
No. I certainly agree with that. You know, you look, I think Nick Saban was like 13-0 against Vandy or whatever. It was something stupid. Something in 0. We didn't touch on this. We need to go back to it. The whole Malachi Moore situation at the end of the Bama-Vandy game. So Malachi Moore, captain for Alabama, starting safety for Alabama. He was one of the ones that flirted with transferring early after Saban leaves. They hired DeBoer. DeBoer ends up being able to keep Malachi Moore. Malachi Moore then becomes a champion for the new staff and really kind of solidifies some of those guys who were leaning kind of right or left if they're going to leave or not leave. And so he's kind of been a leader for that group. And then at the end of the game, when the game was more or less in the bag, they were running victory formation, the best play in all of football. Malachi Moore lost his mind. He tackled Diego Pavia, slammed his head in the ground,
kicked the ball
after the referee had said it, gets a personal foul penalty with that. He throws his mouthpiece. But the biggest thing to me, I don't know if you saw this, the biggest thing to me was The coaches see this happening. The coaches see
and
him.
And they didn't pull it.
They try. Well, they try to pull him out. The defense coordinator walks out of the numbers. Malachi Moore's on the opposite side of the formation. Try to pull him out. Bring a guy in, number 18, not sure who he is. He comes running on the field as a potential backup for Malachi Moore. The player turns around, turns his back on the coaches, doesn't listen to them, stays in the game, backup runs back off the field.
So they don't get a penalty.
No, I mean, they don't get a penalty, but the biggest thing is he didn't listen to his coaches. Do you think that happens if Nick Saban's there?
No, he wouldn't have had a rear end when it was over.
Oh, no. No, I think he
no respect.
He does not.
I didn't get to see. I just seen the highlights of that.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't watch.
It was pretty bad.
I got bits and pieces of that game.
Brian Wynn, what did you think about a near upset moving away from the SEC into the ACC? What did you think about a near upset late night, Miami versus Cal in California? Miami scores 21 points in the fourth quarter to come out on top, 39-38. What did you think about that?
I thought it was I didn't get to watch that one either.
Yeah.
But that would have been a good one. I mean, Miami, I just don't think they're deep enough. I think they're good, but as the season keeps going, I don't think they're going to be a playoff team. What are they ranked at? Like, I've got them at 5.
Yeah, I've still got Miami in my top 12, certainly. I've got them as the ACC runner-up, kind of spoiling my top 12 a bit. But you know,
that's a long ways to go. Like we
Double D said last week,
a long ways to go.
The first time they left Florida – the whole year, and you're going all the way across the country.
Yeah, it ain't like they was coming to Texas. Yeah,
it was
a hunt.
I didn't watch a whole lot. I tried to fight sleep and stay up and watch it, and it seemed to be a good game. I was in and out. I caught the very tail end. Cam Ward certainly had some heroics. Some Heisman-esque type plays to keep him in the game. But that was a near upset that not many people saw. So I'm not sure that Miami's really getting dinged for it in the kind of public perception, at least here in the South, because nobody's going to be up at 2 in the morning watching Miami versus Cal after you've seen Vandy upset Bama, Arkansas upset Tennessee, Missouri upset Texas A&M. You know, that was those were big ones. Touch on Georgia-Auburn just a little bit. Georgia comes away with a 31-13 victory against Auburn. I believe that extends a winning streak for Georgia against Auburn that's been unheard of here recently. What'd you think about the UGA Auburn game, Rattlesnake Man?
I mean it was back and forth. It wasn't, you know, just beat them down. It was a good game. To me it wasn't super exciting.
No, it wasn't.
It was kind of a dead game, honestly.
Yeah, and Kirby said that. You know, being in the stadium, I was there. It was the first game I've been to all year.
I wasn't happy with the fans.
No, Kirby wasn't either. Kirby called him out. He said, listen, this is the first time he was upset. Kirby said it was the first time he was upset with the fans in his tenure there in Athens. He didn't feel like they had an effect on the game. He felt like they were quiet, not causing any impact on the opposing offense or opposing defense.
That was dead.
If Katie looked over at me, my wife, and she said, this is one of three things. Either people are just really hot. It was hot. It was hot on Saturday. Now, I've been to hotter games, but it was hot. 3:30, start in Athens. The sun was beating down. It's either it was too hot, Georgia fans are entitled, right? Yep. They've become used to winning. They've become used to these things. Or a hangover after Alabama. One of those three things, probably a combination of the three, caused the
lack of interest.
Yeah, it really was odd. A lot of the students in the sorority fraternity section, they left early. You know, a lot of fans were leaving early. But it was one of those games where
it wasn't fun to watch on TV for me.
The game wasn't necessarily a blowout.
No.
It wasn't necessarily close. But it never really felt like Georgia was going to lose it either.
No.
I felt like Georgia had control of the game. That's a good word. A good command of the game from the beginning. Never really felt like Auburn was going to get anything going on offense.
Carson still didn't.
No.
He still has not stepped it up. I hate to say this. I said it in our group chat. I don't think Carson Beck is a national championship winning quarterback. Now, I'm not saying they might not win.
Right.
But it won't be because of him.
It's he's not.
That's my negative Nancy.
The biggest frustration for me as a Georgia fan is I don't feel like he's living up to his potential.
No.
We've heard all season long he's had a great offseason. He's poised for a Heisman run. You're talking maybe the first quarterback taken. He's not shown that. He's not shown that all year.
I see glimpses of it. Second half of Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, fourth quarter, third in the third quarter, I've seen glimpses of that he's got it in him.
Right.
But it almost seems like either he, you know, he's just not a sold out. I mean, I don't see how a player goes from awesome to horrible.
Right. It did not look good. You know, I heard somebody call him the check down king. He doesn't seem to want to push the ball down the field.
Well, and plus when you can tell that he's got the authority to change the play when he gets to the line, he seems confused.
Right.
I mean, to me.
Yeah, it seems like.
I mean, there were several times he'd go up and he wouldn't see the format that he should have saw for the play that Bobo then talked to him in his ear on.
Right.
And he backs up and he's looking, you know, he just didn't look confident in knowing what he should go to.
Right.
It seems like a confidence issue to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the same thing with his passing, how he turned it on at the end of Alabama. He started to get in a rut. I was glad he did, but you can't do that when you're a winner. I mean, it's got to be the entire game. You come – and now you're going to have games that are off, but not as off as he is. His confidence. He got – his offensive linemen's getting blowed off the ball. His defense wasn't doing as good against Alabama. They were ready to play, and they had his number, and he had no defense – as an offensive player in mental or in any kind of.
He just had no answer for it, right?
Answer.
He had no answer, and, nope. And the running game wasn't helping out. Now, the running game did kind of come alive a bit in Athens on Saturday. Yeah. Etienne had, you know, almost 90 yards rushing. He was certainly involved in the offense more than he was against Alabama. We got some of that going. It seems to me that Carson is uncomfortable in the pocket. You can tell he wants to get out of the pocket quickly. His feet aren't set. If I recall, there was some growing pains early last year. I think a lot of us fans, though, dismissed that as, oh, he's just now starting for the first time, right? We don't have that excuse this year. We were supposed to kind of hit the ground running and keep the momentum that we had coming out of 2023 season. We, you know, had it in the Orange Bowl, and then you take it right into the season. Didn't have it against Clemson until the second half. Didn't have it against Bama until the second half. Struggled mightily in Kentucky, pull out a win. And then same thing here. We never really could get a rhythm on offense. So we'll see what this week brings. And that'll lead us right into our preview for this week a little bit. So we got several games that are, you know, big national games. Obviously, we're here in the South, and we're looking pretty closely at games in the South, but probably the biggest game of the weekend, as far as rankings go, is Ohio State and Oregon. Oregon is a top three matchup. I believe Ohio State's ranked second behind Texas, and Oregon is right there at number three after the most recent rankings came out on Sunday through the AP. So, Brian, what do you think about Ohio State, Oregon? Ohio State's favored by three. Don't give your pick yet, but Ohio State is favored by three going to Eugene.
I think Ohio State will win.
Yeah.
By two touchdowns is what I got to buy.
I got you. Neither team really has been tested all year, no. Right? Ohio State had on paper a test with Iowa last week. It was close at half. You know, Ohio State comes out in the second half and kind of squeezes the life out of them a little bit. Ends up winning 35-7. Oregon, they had some close games early, a real close game with Boise State, and we'll get to Boise State in a little while. But they've not really been tested. This is the first test for both teams.
Well, to me, you know, Ohio to me is more of a similar, just watching them as a SEC school.
Mm-hmm.
Grind it out. They can run. They can throw.
Right.
Oregon's got always a lot of speed.
Right.
A lot of speed. Never really huge. I mean, big, but not like your Southern-style schools or even Ohio.
Right.
So it's kind of two different types of football teams. It'd be interesting to see. I still think Ohio will win that one.
Yeah, that's the biggest game of the day, biggest game of the weekend. Another 2-3 matchup like we had with Georgia and Bama not many weeks ago. Another big game here in the South. You've got Texas and Oklahoma at the Texas State Fair. One of the coolest neutral site games I think you'll ever see. They split the field. For those of you who don't know, they split the field on the 50. So one end of end of the stadium is orange, burnt orange and white. The other end of the stadium is, I don't know what they call their colors, but red and white, whatever Oklahoma calls himself. But it's split at the 50. So it's an it's not the same split that you have at Georgia, Florida, where they split it at the midpoint of the end zone, kind of at the goalpost, and you have a side and a side. You truly have a mixed fan base across the stadium. What do you think? I know you're the Sooners are one of your sleeper picks this year. What do you think about Texas, Oklahoma?
I got at them upset.
All right, I hear you.
I think Oklahoma's going to upset Texas.
Oklahoma, Brian Wynn's got Oklahoma upsetting Texas. Quinn Ewers is coming back, first time in a few games from, I believe, a ab strain or oblique strain.
I mean, you don't find a bigger hate. The hate between Oklahoma and Texas is in general, not even football.
Oh, yeah.
It's twice as much as Georgia and University of Florida. I mean, if you go to Oklahoma and just say, hey, I'm going to spend the night I'm driving tonight. I'm going to spend the night in Texas. And you just tell some person, they'll give you the side eye. So, you know, when it comes to a football, but I think Oklahoma's going to upset them.
Yeah, Oklahoma's got a stout, stout defense. Brent Venables, obviously a defensive-minded head coach. They've struggled on offense. They've got a freshman quarterback in Oklahoma Legacy and struggled to score points. Texas, obviously, is one of the more powerful offenses in the country. They've had some with Quinn Ewers. They've had some with Arch Manning at the helm. One of the things I'm watching, if Quinn Ewers comes out and struggles, are the Texas fans going to get antsy and start, you know, we want Arch in the game. Arch has done this. He's done that. He's done this. Are they going to want to put Arch back in if Ewers comes out? I do expect this game to be close going into the fourth quarter, and I think that's what Oklahoma has to hope for, right? They've got to hope for a close game going into the fourth quarter. Not a high score. I don't think Oklahoma can get into a shootout with Texas. They need to be able to – they need to be able to keep the game low scoring.
I think it'll be close.
Yeah.
Real close game. But I think Oklahoma's going to upset them.
Yeah, big game there. That will happen. Well,
and how would that affect Georgia? Yeah. Now you got a lot of schools that won losses.
Yeah.
And you got a lot done.
So interesting that you bring that up. Georgia plays Texas next week. Similar to how you said after the Georgia-Alabama game, they're going to feel them bruises, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be a slugfest, I think. And be it what it may, Georgia's playing Mississippi State. They're more of a finesse offense, not going to run right at you.
Nope.
Maybe Georgia has a chance to kind of coast a little bit, per se. But Texas and Oklahoma, they're going to be in a slugfest, I believe.
I mean, it'd be nice for Georgia to just get stretched out some, heal up a little bit, get a good win. Don't try to light the scoreboard up against them. You know, two or three touchdowns, make it comfortable, and just get ready because that's going to be a dog fight with Texas.
Yeah, that's coming up next week, and we'll have a lot more of that on next week's episode. But speaking of Georgia, Georgia's playing Mississippi State, favored by 33.5. Brian Wynn, that's a lot of points.
I don't think he'll run it up that high.
Can Georgia score that many points?
Yes, I think if Carson do right.
That needs
to be a shirt. Can Carson do right?
Can Carson do right?
Yeah.
Somebody print the shirt.
Somebody print them. Get a hat.
You know, that's 33.5 points is a lot of points for the Georgia offense we've seen this year. Now, if the Georgia offense, who started the fourth quarter against Alabama, plays all four quarters against anybody,
they'd be 80-0.
It could be, but we've not seen that. That nobody's given us any reason to believe that will be the case this year.
It's like they're off their meds. On their meds, off their meds.
Yeah, man. It's
they
been
don't
a,
talk to Georgia. They ill.
It's been a tale of two halves in many games for the Dogs this year. Another big game, a traditional rivalry in the SEC. Florida is going to Tennessee. Tennessee coming off of a loss to Arkansas, like we mentioned earlier. Tennessee favored by 16.5. Florida did beat Tennessee last year.
They ain't gonna beat them this year.
I think you're right. Tennessee's
gonna cover.
Do you think that?
And they're gonna have a chip on their shoulder.
A loss to Tennessee does that put Billy Napier's job in jeopardy, or is that kind of seen as we're gonna lose this game anyway?
His job's already in jeopardy.
Is two men in a truck gonna be there this week? We're kind of thinking
two men in a truck should already have been there, in my opinion. What would you do?
I don't know.
There's no way he can rebound. I mean, he would have to lay out a recruiting plan, but he couldn't even tell me what he was going to do to improve the players that he had, because he's already halfway in the season,
right?
And it ain't getting any better. If I was AD, he would have to show me who are you going after already? Who you're massaging? And are they going to firm up to come here? And where are you going to stick them to perform to win? If he couldn't tell me that, he'd have to kick rocks.
You know, something I read an interesting article about kind of transitions and firing head coaches at top-tier programs that don't have trouble. A lot of times the program itself or the school itself recruits certain players, right? There's certain players in Florida who are going to be Florida Gators really no matter who the coach is in a lot of cases, right? You get the right coach like an Urban Meyer, you get a lot of good players that come there. But this article was talking about, do you bring in an interim, right? And what if that interim comes in and he does awesome? And you feel like, well, man, we got to keep him. He brought us out of nothing. And then in the next year, he goes back down. Kind of like the situation a few years ago after Mike Leach passed away.
I wouldn't bring in an interim.
You know, I think a lot of the thinking is Florida might just ride the season out with Billy Napier.
Let him die on the sword. Let him run it down, and then let's replace him. As much as I don't like Florida, they're still an SEC school. I'd pick them up if they were broke down the side of the road. That's about how I feel about Florida. But, you know, I ain't going to go over there to the house when the grandma dies, that's for sure.
You give them a ride to the gas station.
I give them a ride if they got, you know. They bad sick. I might visit them at the hospital, let him do his thing the rest of the year. Man, you tagged a loser. There's no way he can rebound from this.
I mean, the only way to do it is to beat Tennessee, beat LSU.
I mean, yeah,
beat Georgia
and have a good plan for next year.
Right. Yeah. It seems like the conclusion is known. It just doesn't know when it's going to happen.
Nowadays, you can be. You know, have a bad team and not be a bad coach. You just got the short end of the stick on some recruits, and you don't have to miss but three or four.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going on in FSU, right, with Mike Norvell. We know that, I mean, Norvell's not a bad coach. He's done it. Bad evals.
But then again, you have to look at these coaches and players now. When they're making this amount of money, we see it in communities everywhere. People can get off track.
Yeah.
Like, you get out of your routine. I mean, it could be as simple as he ain't getting up the same time he used to, and he's not preparing. He ain't eating breakfast. I mean, like, it don't take much when you're as top tier as that to get off tune some.
Right.
You know? So, I don't know about Florida State as much because he does have some athletes on the field.
Right.
And it just seems like they can't get it going.
Just can't get it going. Well, we'll see what happens there in Knoxville. You're right. Tennessee is going to be a wounded coon dog ready to come out and fight, I believe.
They're
mad.
Them hogs and put it on that dog.
That's right. All right. Well, another big game here in the SEC, kind of last one we'll talk about. Ole Miss, LSU. Ole Miss favored by 3.5 at LSU at night. I don't see it, boys.
I don't either.
I don't see it. I think Ole Miss might be some fool's gold.
They finna get it.
So.
I got it.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and move in to our picks for the week after just hitting on some of those games. We'll start with UGA versus Mississippi State. Dogs versus dogs. Like I said, Georgia is favored by 33.5. I'll go ahead and call out Double D's pick. Double D has Mississippi State with the points. That's a lot of points, like I said. Brian, who you got?
I got Mississippi State with the points, you know, obviously to lose, but yeah. I think Georgia put the points up.
Yeah, I'm like you. I've got Mississippi State with the points. I don't know that the Dogs can outrun 33.5 points.
No,
that's a lot of points.
I don't think Kirby will do it. I think he's going throttle back some just because he's got a slugfest.
Right.
I mean, why just beat – there's certain plays you can run that just beats your team up.
Right.
I mean, I can think of several. I mean, but not, there ain't no use in doing that.
You know, Mississippi State hung close with Texas up to half. And so I'm sure Kirby's been showing the guys, hey, it can happen any week. He's going to show them Vandy, Bama. He's going to show them Arkansas, Tennessee. He's going to show them these games and say, hey, guys, if you don't come out and play, you can be this week's upset.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm sure. But I don't think the Dogs or the Georgia Dogs are going to be able to put up enough points to cover that 33.5. So I've got UGA winning, but Mississippi State with the points, and so does Brian Howell. He's got Mississippi State taking the points as well. All right, next game we've got Florida at Tennessee. Tennessee is favored by 16.5 at home. What you say, Brian Wynn?
Cover. Yep.
You know, I like it. I went back and forth on this one. I was writing all this up today, and I said I had Florida, then I had Tennessee, and then I said, okay, I'm good with Tennessee, and then I had Florida again. I wound up taking Florida and the points, 16.5. I don't Tennessee might be lacking some confidence, a young quarterback lacking some confidence. Florida needing a win bad. Florida having some confidence, having beaten UCF last week, having beaten Tennessee last year by more than a touchdown, almost two touchdowns. Back to what I mentioned earlier, Florida runs an odd front defense, which gives Tennessee trouble, so it might lead to a low-scoring game. Tennessee will probably win the game. I'm not sure they'll win by 16 points to cover that spread. Double D, he's got Tennessee, and I'm pretty sure our friend Brian Wynn, or Brian Howell, excuse me, he's got Tennessee as well. So I'm on an island by myself picking the Gators this week, so that'll be one that divides us all.
You just want to go to Billy's house to have Thanksgiving.
I do not want to go to his house.
I bet he's got a good one.
He probably has a nice house.
I bet, plenty of money, big old couple turkeys.
Probably so.
Yeah.
He'll be worried about a game that week against the Noles. I don't know how much turkey he'll be eating.
He better eat some. He better be ready.
That's right. All right, next one. We got Ohio State at Oregon. Probably the game of the week in the country. We don't normally pick games outside of our region here, but this is a big one. Ohio State at Oregon. Ohio State is favored by 3 on the road at Oregon. What you got, Brian Wynn?
Ohio State, yep. And then Oregon to cover points. Or Ohio State, whichever.
Was it three? So you've got – do you have an Oregon – you have Ohio State winning by more than 3?
Yep.
Right. So you got Ohio State. I'm the same. I've got Ohio State winning by around 7. I think it's close until late, but Ohio State ultimately pulls away there.
I think
that
grind is going to get Oregon.
Yeah.
Only thing that's going – I think that game, normally Oregon can get out there fast on you, man.
Yeah.
I mean, long passes, long runs, they're always fast. Mm-hmm. It's shocking how fast they are.
Ohio State can't afford to start slow.
You remember Georgia played them? What year was that?
Oregon? 2022, I believe, in Mercedes-Benz there in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Bo Nix.
Did we lose to them?
No, Georgia beat one big.
It was one. Anyway, they were, like, super fast. And it was just shocking. It's West Coast.
Yeah. Brian Howell's got Ohio State covering the 3.5, and then Double D, he's also sitting on Ohio State. I think we're all there together. Ohio State is seems to be rising to the top, and we'll see. This could be a preview of a potential Big Ten championship later in the year. I have Ohio State and Oregon facing off again later in the year in the Big Ten Championship. So back to what we said a few weeks ago with the SEC, even the ACC, you may have the chance for some rematches, and this just might be the first of one of those. All right, next game, Ole Miss favored by 3.5 at LSU. And I put a caveat on there, at LSU at night. That's a big deal for those Cajuns in Baton Rouge to play at night. Brian Wynn, who you got? Ole Miss or LSU?
LSU.
LSU, that would be a rankings upset. LSU's ranked 13th. Ole Miss, I believe, still ranked inside the top 10. Big win, close win?
Close. I think we're going to have a lot of close games this week. I hope Georgia's not close.
Yeah, man, me too.
But I think, this year has just been exciting. Even though the upsets have been close.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get an upset and it's a blowout.
Right.
But we haven't had that. I'm waiting on my Florida State Seminoles to have an upset. It just
need one.
I picked it last week.
They need one,
baby. It hadn't happened.
Need an upset.
Mike, come through for us.
All right. I've got LSU also beating Ole Miss at home. Brian Kelly, cool stat. Brian Kelly, 12-0 at night in Death Valley in his tenure as the LSU head coach. So I don't see that ending this week. I see them winning by around 7 to 10 points. Another close game, like you mentioned. Double D, he's got his picks as well. He's taking LSU to cover the 3.5 and beat Ole Miss. And our buddy Brian Howell is taking LSU to win as well. So LSU clean sweep there. All right. Biggest game in the South this week, Texas versus Oklahoma at the Texas State Fair. One of the coolest atmospheres in all of college football. One of the games I hope to attend one day, just as an observing fan. Cool story. When I was a little kid, I think I told you this before, I was a Texas fan as a little boy. I just love their uniforms, love some of their players. And so this was a game I always watched. So Texas favored by 14.5 versus Oklahoma. Brian Wynn, I think I know who you're going to pick, but what you got, brother?
Oklahoma, I think I'll give them 4 points.
Winning by four. Man.
Close one.
I like it. I hope you're right. I hope it's close. I hope it's a slugfest. I hope that there's some bloody noses coming out of that game. I like it too. I like Oklahoma. I like Oklahoma with the points. I don't think they'll win. I don't think that Texas will beat them by 14.5. I do think Oklahoma with the 14.5 takes it there. Texas wins a close game at the end. They just seem to be a team clicking right now. But Oklahoma with the points. Brian Howell, he's got Texas to cover the 14.5, looking for a big win out of the Longhorns. And our buddy Double D, he has taken Oklahoma as well, getting 14.5 points. So Brian Howell out there by himself taking the Longhorns. It's going to be a fun week of football. Another fun week. I don't know if we'll see another week like we had this past week with all the upsets, but I believe we are in for another great week of football here in 2024. All right, let's move to our underrated, overrated segment. Brian Wynn, we've kind of all bounced around back and forth on overrated, underrated. Let's start with you on overrated. Who you got?
Michigan.
They've been a common overrated team all year amongst all four of us.
Yep.
What makes you think Michigan overrated?
Same reason we've been saying all year. I mean, they're just, I don't know. I think people are pulling them for what they did in the past. I mean, not that they've had horrible season this year, but
right,
they're just not the team they were.
Yeah, they've had a hard time replacing some of the stars they had last year.
I mean, it'd be like Georgia falling off
right
30%, but
yeah,
you know, they've done so well that we just can't bear to knock them down a couple notches.
That's right. You know, Michigan has struggled at the quarterback position this year. It's not been what they had hoped. Double D has Oregon and Penn State overrated, two Big Ten teams that are ranked in the top five. I think Oregon's ranked third. Penn State's ranked fourth. I also have Penn State as an overrated team. They're ranked fourth. But guys, who have they beaten? Who have they played? I mean, they don't really have a lot left on their schedule, so their schedule is going to, you know, kind of lend them to staying in the top 12, potentially getting into the playoff as an at-large team. I don't see them winning a Big Ten championship, but they've not done enough for me to warrant the fourth-ranked team in the country. All right, underrated. Who you got, Brian?
Underrated Nebraska.
Nebraska, you're a closet Midwestern fan.
That's my third favorite school.
I got you.
I picked them last week.
That's yeah, you did. You had Nebraska last week. They got a young quarterback there in Nebraska.
They got what, one loss this year?
One or two. We can look it up.
I think they only lost to Illinois.
I'm
not
sure. Week?
I'm not like that Nebraska fan that watches every game. But I like to catch a few highlights.
Yeah, it's hard to watch some of those teams here because we don't get the channels that show them, you know, unless you're tuning into kind of SEC the Ocho, all right? ESPN the Ocho. All right. Underrated for Double D. He's got the Dogs underrated. UGA underrated. He thinks that they have more in the tank than they're showing right now. I hope he's right. I think Double D's just leaning on us Georgia fans and giving us a little bit of confidence.
Oh, my God. He's trying to get them ratings, baby.
Hey, we need more likes, more subscribers.
He got daggone Florida State pajamas and talking about Georgia underrated.
Hey,
only reason he's doing it because he's ill Seminoles.
He's just trying to keep his buddies happy. That's what it is. He wants us to keep coming back to the podcast.
Yeah.
He can keep going to hunt, so he's just keeping us happy. That's what it is. I've got an interesting underrated pick here. It's something I've been watching this year. I got two teams. I put them in the same category, Army and Navy. I think they're underrated. Back in the day, Army and Navy were some of the top
teams. They ain't got a lawsuit.
Neither one. Neither team, Army or Navy.
We talked about this last week.
They're 5-0, both of them. Army averaging 38.8 points a game. Navy averaging 43.6 points a game. So putting a ton of points up, right? Army and Navy both run an odd offense, right? It's a old school triple option style of offense out of a different formation, but an old school offense, hard to defend, hard to prepare for. Do not have tough schedules. Both, I believe, have Notre Dame, so that will be a test for both of them later in the year. But I do think what they've done thus far and who they're at a huge disadvantage when it comes to recruiting.
It's
difficult, right? It's extremely difficult. And they're doing this against teams who can recruit, who can use NIL. And obviously some of the best men in this country are at their service academies and certainly appreciate their willingness to serve always. But let's show them some love. Let's get them in the top 25 here in the next few weeks and take. Let's see if they can bring a whip into Notre Dame here in a few weeks from both of them.
That'd love all the Florida State.
Oh
fans.
Man, that'd be awesome.
That'd be payback.
it's hard not to cheer for Army and Navy. If you're a red blooded American, it's hard not to cheer for Army and Navy.
I like watching that game.
Unless they're playing, you know, your team or whatever. But right. So, all right, well. That is our overrated, underrated segment. Let's get over to our top 12 for the week. Some of us do top 12 as a projected final end of the year top 12. Brian Wynn generally brings us a power ranking. Brian, what you got, brother?
I'll start at top instead of bottom. We change it up a little. Georgia, Texas, Oregon, Penn State, Miami, Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, Clemson, Iowa State, and Texas.
You snuck in Iowa State like Double D and I had last week. The Big 12 is a mess.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to figure out who's come out of there. Thank you for that Brian Wynn, like I said, always coming with a power ranking. Double D's top 12 this week, he's got Boise State with a lot of credit to their running back. Their running back's got some ungodly number of yards this year already, ungodly number of touchdowns. Boise State come in at number 12. As your group of you're outside the group of four highest ranked non-power four team. He's got Penn State hanging in there at number 11, Miami coming down some at 10, Notre Dame back in at number 9, I don't believe Notre Dame's got it. I refuse to put them in my top 12 with a loss at home to who they lost to. He's got Ole Miss at 8, Tennessee at 7, Oregon at 6, Texas, SEC number 2 at 5, Iowa State, Big 12 champ at 4, Clemson, ACC champ at 3, Ohio State, Big 10 champ at 2, and UGA, SEC champ at number 1. Mine mirrors that just a bit. I've got Boise State as the highest ranked group of 5 team. Penn State coming in, much of the reason is because of their schedule. They just have nobody on it at number 11. Ole Miss as an SEC at-large team. BYU entering my top 12 for the first time as the Big 12 runner-up. Tennessee, SEC at-large. Oregon, Big 10 runner-up at 7. Miami, ACC runner-up at 6. That's the first time they've been out of my top 4 this season. Texas, SEC runner-up at 5. Iowa State, Big 12 champ at 4. Clemson, ACC champ at 3. UGA, SEC champ at 2. And Ohio State, Big 10 champ at number 1 coming in this week. We'll see. I just really can't wait until we get a actual top 12 from the committee to see what they really want to look at. Last week was upset week, upset city, as I called it. Who you got an upset alert this week, Brian Wynn?
Let's see. Upset, I already did mine, Texas-Oklahoma.
Texas-Oklahoma, that's
Texas
right.
Texas going to get that, that poor Longhorn cowboy. He's going to be going home
taking
sick.
Taking the L. At the Texas State.
That boy won't get no feed next week.
old Bevo ain't like them eating.
They ain't even going to feed him. They're going to be so upset they won't get out there and feed him. He's just been locked up all week.
That will be losing to – did Oklahoma beat Texas last year? I believe they did.
I think so.
I think they did. And you know, so Texas looking for some revenge. Brian Wynn's got an upset alert. You know, I just my upset alert this week is we're going to have some upset fans this week. It's just not going to be the week it was last week. No. A lot of favorites winning. A lot of folks just not being upset. But my team. This week, upset alert, Penn State going across the country to USC. USC has been in an overrated segment a lot this year, but Penn State having to go across the country, going to USC, I think their week schedule to this point comes back and bites them. USC wins this game late there in Los Angeles. Any closing thoughts, Rattlesnake Man?
No, I mean, it's going to be fun week. You know, none that we haven't covered. I'm excited about Texas Oklahoma game.
Another good slate. I saw a tweet today. All right, when it was X, they call it X or Twitter or whatever you call it.
That's Brian Howell's go-to.
That's his go-to social media.
He loves it.
Yeah. Man, we got to find Brian Howell on Twitter.
On Twitter.
Yep. Get him to share his Twitter handle here.
Yeah.
Next time
I don't
he's with
have
us.
It. I don't we have.
It's like a secret tweeter.
He gets in them deep conspiracy theories.
Flat earther?
Flat earther.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Well,
cloud seeding.
Well, it's going to be a fun week. I saw a tweet that said it kind of showed the lineup this week with Ohio State and Oregon and Texas and Oklahoma. They said, if you're getting married this weekend, you're part of the problem.
Yeah, that's about right.
You know, them old boys that get married in the fall, they got to put the pants on.
They got to draw the line.
They got to draw the line.
Say, listen, ladies. That's for the spring.
Pretty flowers.
Pretty flowers.
No football.
Cool.
That's right.
Yeah, daylilies.
Well, we have wrapped up another week here on the Southern Football Report brought to you by Rivertown Running. Hey, speaking of Rivertown Running, you got any Lululemon yet?
No, I need to go see Heath. Get me a fresh stock of Lululemon.
Get you some joggers.
That's right.
There you go.
Heath carries my rattlesnake belts now, so y'all need to shop
at the running store.
No, at another store.
I got now. That'd be something if Lululemon had a rattlesnake belt.
They need it. We'll put it on them. Oh, Lulu, Lulu
like
rattle.
Opportunity for Bull and Briar right there.
Yes,
if you ask me.
Yeah.
Well, folks, this is another episode of the Southern Football Report brought to you by Rivertown Running. We will catch you all next week. Have a good one.